A Hustler Spirit Radio, touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. A Hustler's Spirit Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Hey, 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 what's going on? What's going on with everybody out there? This is Jim Ferguson, and I am the host of A Hustler Spirit Radio. Got everybody with me today. Ken, what's going on? Check in with everybody. What's going on with you, baby?
Everything's good.
All right, sound like a winner, man. Let's keep it that way. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Great as always. Right. How's everybody today? Right.
Come on with it. And today, we got the author back again with us. Today, the Pro Christ, Vincent Gray. What's going on with you, Vince?
I'm blessed to be here with you.
All right, that's what I'm talking about, baby. That's what I'm talking about. How's everything been going? How's the book been going?
The book's been going good. You know, a lot of people have been talking about it still. A lot of people starting to receive their orders, so I'm interested to see what they're going to say about it.
All right, all right. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I'll tell you what, man, I've got a line of subject that I want to talk about today. I got a line of subject today. Ran into some people today. Got a haircut today. Got my beard trimmed today. I don't have my waves in. I don't have my juice in my hair quite yet, Big Daddy. I'd even be real to say I need a shower because I've been working today, but it's all good. Keep it real.
Some things you need to keep.
But I'm letting it go, though. I'm letting it go. This one today ain't going to be no secret. It's all right, baby. I'm still smelling fresh, though. That's all it's about, smelling fresh. Greg, you know about that sometimes. Sometimes you rushing to get back to get on the show, get on your mic, and not all the time, do you? Always smelling the best. What do you think about that, baby?
That's right. You come back from the fire and you're ready for a shower. Sometimes you can't do that, you know?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's what it's about. Listen, today, I'm getting a haircut today, and I'm talking to my barber that's been cutting my hair. His name is Kevin. Great barber. Shop is in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. And we sitting there talking, and something that I noticed, I tried to get with him about 2.5 weeks ago. Been missing him. About 2 weeks, man. Missing him. You know, I'm doing, I'm going, I'm ripping, I'm running. I got some other things on the table, and I can't get to him. I said, you know what? I need to go get a fresh cut so I can put the juice in my hair. I said, I need that. So it was late, about 8 o'clock. I seen the sign open. It said, open. You know, one of them signs that say, open. One of them signs that say, open. All right, check it out now. Dude in there eating potato chips. Not him, but another dude. Eating potato chips, he's watching TV. I get in and say, hey, man, what's going on with you? I need to get a quick cut, and I need you to trim up this sexy beard that I got. You know what he tells me? Nah, man. I'm about to get ready to get up out of here. Okay. So my three-dimensional mindset is saying, dude, don't want this energy that I got in my pocket. Let me put it back in my pocket. And let me stroll on and wait till I get to somebody that wants this energy. Now, today I'm talking to Kev and I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm not going to say no names of who it was because I don't know the person's name. I just know he's a barber there. And Kevin goes through a situation where a dude grinds his butt off. And a lot of people come in there don't quite understand his energy because they're confused of the get up and go that he has and the go lucky attitude that he has. But here's the deal. How can you complain about not having when you don't want to do what it takes to get it? And he made a statement to me. He said, Jimmy, blah, 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 blah. I said, hold on, Big Daddy. Just hold on. Here's what it is. Deep in the recesses of certain people's minds, they don't want it. They don't want it. Now, I don't know everything that was going on in dude's position at that time. Only thing I could say is when I walked out the place, dude sat there in the chair and continued to eat potato chips. Not only that, when I got in the car and I went past the joint, he was still sitting down and eating potato chips. Now, as many haircuts as I have gotten over the course of my life, by the time it took me to walk out the joint, go to the parking lot, get into the car, roll the windows down, turn the CD player on Jadakiss, his brand new Last Stand, track number 4, swing out and make a left and go back down Mayfield, you just about could have had me with both sides low faded. That's just me saying. You feel what I'm saying? Now, did he? The question is, did he want it? The answer is, hell no, he didn't want it. Now, how are we taking that on with different things that are going through our lives right now? That just comes to mind. So I said to the dude, I said, look, man, the best thing, in my opinion, since you're asking me that you want to talk to me in private outside in this parking lot, is that you take the energy of the haters and use that for fuel in your tank. Don't give them the energy back. And he was saying that that's his situation. He'll take that energy, he'll use it, but if you're not careful about what you spit out your mouth and about people, you'll give it right back to them. But if you want it, you got to know how to manage that when it comes in. So he said, Jim, man, you hit that right on the money. I said, look, I said, when I say stuff, dude, I'm not saying it for you first. I'm saying it for me first, because that helps reassure me. I said, not only did I look at Duke, I didn't judge Duke. I'm trying to, and hold me if you see anything. If you listen, if you see something, I'm not trying to judge Duke. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to give him my energy. I just said he didn't want it. I walked out with my money, so he couldn't have wanted it. But that's okay. But the whole point that I'm trying to say is, how bad do we want it, and then do we take responsibility that when we don't have it? So then I get to a point, how hungry are we today about what we want? When I say hungry, man, I'm saying I don't give a damn about sleeping. You understand me what I'm saying? How hungry are we? How hungry are we with spiritual knowledge? How hungry are we with flexibility? How hungry are we with going after what we want? You have to, come on now, when you don't ask, what did I ask you a couple days ago? I said, you know what, man, have you gave 110%? Have you locked it down and said, man, I have given it? That means, if we hit every rep with the intensity as the first rep? That's the separation between champions and regular folk. That's the situation where you turn your TV on and you see dudes in their gear, baseball, football, whatever your favorite team is, and you see them dudes out there, and what pulls you to that television is that they do what the average person can't do. Are you telling me they're not equal amount of linemen, wide receivers walking around here working for gas stations, working for cable companies, doctors and stuff? You telling me that they ain't equal people that you see every day passing that can't go out there and run routes? Come on, pimp. You telling me they ain't? Yes, there is. But are you willing to do what it takes? No more different, Vincent. Did you do what it takes to put a book, and I thank you very much for my book, autographed and the whole nine yards. Thank you. I do it the first copy, don't I? I want to be the first. That's what I'm saying. Now, I got my first copy. Now, did you do what it takes to get the job done? And the answer would be definitely yes, because I'm holding a copy of it. See, all the other theory shit, well, man, my shit coming. Okay, but your shit here. Well, man, I'm thinking about I need to do this and I need to bust this out. That's good, but mine here. Man, I'm thinking about getting that GT Bentley and I want that blue Bentley with the gut. That's whatever color you want in it. And I want a convertible, and I need my 22 CEC wheels. Let's not let that secret out. Now, where is it at? Did you go get it? What did I say? The dude pulled up next to me, and he pulled up on the bike, and he said, hey, man, what's going on, dude? I said, not much. He said, I like the vet. I said, yeah. I said, it's cool, man. I said, but I want an 010. And the man looked at me, and he said, well, go get it. Come on now. Go get it. Is it that simple? Is it that damn simple? Is it that simple? Is it that when you say, you know what, I didn't make it, this didn't happen, I didn't achieve that, when you look back at all of it, can a grown-ass man or woman put any blame on anything or anybody for the lack of oneself. Can you do that?
Well, that, you said the number one thing. Is it a blame? Do you blame anyone for not having it right now today? But you know you had the capabilities and the resources to put it all together to get it. When you get limited, when people feel like they're trapped and they're limited, that's when things get shut down.
By choice, no.
I mean, even great people have times where they're probably not putting out 100%, but they know.
Okay, but what make them great? What make them great is the fact of that they can recognize that they ain't putting 100% in.
Right.
Now, see, that jackass that's going to tell me that you putting 100% in, and I know you ain't. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at the product, and you ain't putting it in.
We all have to be truthful with ourselves and stuff. We don't, I'm not always fired the same way every day, but I can make myself get fired. I can feel, there's some days when I feel like I don't even feel like getting up. I ache, and I have all these things that I can complain about and have gripe about things ain't going right or something, but that's not going to sit and make me sit down and just sit there and not do nothing. You know, I'm going to do something towards to get to that 100% or 150% because that's where I like to be. And if I could be there, I'm going to try to do it on a daily basis. But I may not always get there, you know, but I'm working every day for the 150%.
And see, that's the problem.
I'm not going to turn anything down. But one thing I've learned for myself is that when you're doing certain things, you don't want to promise a lot of things because then people really don't take you serious in a lot of things that you do. So I try to have some balance of doing things.
Well, you learned before in the past, a whole bunch of promises doesn't come through. You're no more good as your word, huh?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I've said it many a day. You can sit there. I don't give a damn what you got. Dudes out there listening, you could be married for 20, 30 years. If that woman asks you to put a light bulb in a fixture and you don't do it, you're a sucker. That's just how it goes. Because that person is looking at one thing. What have you done for me at this point? Did you do what I asked you to do? Now, get to that point. Now, here's what happened today. Went to the lawyer's office, had to speak to him about some other situation, had to talk to him about. In there, I'm talking to a receptionist. And the receptionist say something, and I give her a comment back. Her eyes brighten up to say, okay, that's a comment that I really, really hear. Long story short, she said, it's mighty funny. We went through 40 minutes, 30 minutes of conversations. This is what she said. She said, what you're saying to me? She dropped a pen, put a pen down, and she kind of sat back and she said, you know, I wrote my husband a note today about what you just said. I thanked him. This now, pimp. I thanked him for putting that fixture in our bathroom because it aided me basically on seeing things a little bit better. So the man, not only did he promise to put the fixture in, he put it in. And this woman took enough time this morning to write a thank you note to her husband. Now, the man lived at the house, I'm assuming. So if he put a fixture in for her, he put a fixture in for himself. But think about that. If she had enough to go 150 cent more, not just thank you, you know, baby John or whatever your name is, but not only to tell him that, but she said, I wrote him a note and sealed it. She said, if it wasn't sealed, I'll show it to you. And we started exchanging what we read and what we do. And she said, well, he's not necessarily as open as I am with certain scenarios with, you know, religion and spirituality, but he's coming around. And I just made a statement to her. I said, you know what? It's not really our path necessarily to press anybody on where their level of maturity is, but if you're shining bright enough, he'll go to the light. And she kind of smiled. She said, yeah, I see that. And that was a plus for her. And then the connection that we had was basically, we left, you know, everything was on a free point of standing in conversation. Then I made a statement like this. Then I said to her, I said, we started talking about testing God. Oh, you know, you get some people said, man, you ain't supposed to be testing God. I said, you test God every day. If you go out here and you run a scientific test about physics, you're testing God every day. So when she first, from her conditioning, and she admitted that her conditioning because of parents, ignorance, and all the rest of that stuff,
when I showed her another way, I said, your testing got to be this. She said, damn, you're right. Every day. And that's your job. How do I know that you're a friend, Big Daddy, if I don't put your ass to a test with it? So you can contest to be my friend. You understand me what I'm saying? But how do I know you're my friend? How do I know God is a friend of mine? How do I know? And goes back to my point is, why are we in so much fear of asking questions? Why are we scared to ask why? Why? Why?
Oh,
I got something
radio.
For that. I got
touching
something
one soul
for that.
At a time.
For why? Look.
Touching one soul at a time.
Time. So let that marinate with y'all, because I want to hear from y'all. I want to hear from Mr. Vincent Gray. Once again, that book is out. Go to his website. Be back on break. Give us a couple minutes. We're right back.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Welcome back to A Hustler's Spirit Radio with your host Jim, Judy, and Greg.
Hey, what's up? This is Jim. If anybody's just tuning in, this is your host for Hustler Spirit Radio. And of course, you guys got to know you're on BBS, the best internet radio station there is, and I would be on none but the best. Period. Listen, this is the subject matter for today. Now check it out. Come on now. Players, women, kids, anybody out there listening, let's step up the game. This is the question. Why are we not asking questions? The whole point of everything is why not? A lot of people give a whole bunch of whys, but why not? What we're talking about today. We're also talking about how hungry we are about what we want. Now, you could say we're talking about different scenarios and stuff that have happened, situations that go on, some of the best conversations I have seen have been in barbershop chairs. No more different. Men, don't you think some of the best conversations that your women have is not in beauty salons? Because trust me, a whole lot of men could not handle some of that conversation. They was flies on the wall. Let's keep it real. Ain't no need. Let's equal out that scenario. You understand? Now, get back to my scenario. What was I saying? I was basically saying, why not ask the question? Why not? Why are we fearful of testing? Why are we fearful of that? And why are these fears lying in us anyway? Now, we're avid believers. We walk around here and we confess with our mouths to have faith, but yet our actions tell us likewise. I am a champion. Well, what the hell have you done to be a champion? Can you step to the plate? Now, are you willing to step to that plate 90-mile-an-hour plus fastball? I have. I got the bruises to prove it, and I've been successful with it. I haven't played baseball in 3.5 years. Would I get out there right now? I will step out there right now. Where's my cleats and my bat? I have no problem with it. That's the kind of attitude that I will take with every desire, every decision, every challenge that comes in my life. Man, let's go for it. See, the fearful stuff is what's holding us back. fearful shit is what's holding your comedy back. Guess what? If you come up with some bullshit propaganda and say, you know what, man, everything just mysteriously overnight is just great. Come on and spend that money and let's go get it. Guess what? People loosen up their pockets, man. You might go get that Cajun jerk chicken dinner. You understand? For $6.95. You might go get, and you should go get, the Pro Christ. You should be on the computer right now listening to us placing your order. That's what you should be doing. Going to border. I had to put that out there. All right, now, we get down to the point, man. And what you say about it? Greg, let me hear something. Let me hear something, because
I got something to say.
Come on,
you,
come on, man.
You said,
come on,
like,
pop it up.
Sorry, Ken.
You got to, I mean, for me to get in anything or something, you have to have a little experience or try to get some knowledge before you step into anything. A lot of people step into something and think they can be great at everything, and you can't be great at everything. But you can be good and put 150% in anything that you do. But everybody, you have to learn somewhere, and you have to learn yourself and be able to know your boundaries. You have boundaries.
And successful men know their boundaries, but I'm going to disagree with you. I can be great at everything I choose to do. I can be great at it. I know I can. I'm that blessed. I can be great at it.
But what I'm saying, Big Daddy, you're not everybody, just like you said, stepping up to a 90-mile-an-hour ball. I mean, I can work up to a 90-hour ball.
Well, that means that you can step up to it, baby.
And if I choose to do it, I will do it. But I think most people do a lot of foolish shit.
Okay, I can understand that.
Now, you know, like, I might see you do something, so in my mind, I think I'm great or something, and I can go behind you and just do whatever that's...
Oh, I definitely understand that, but see, here's the deal. Do you see what I put in the time behind the scenes? You see what I'm saying? Did you see what I put in behind the scenes? That's the whole... It's a whole scenario to see. You know what I'm saying?
Just like you were saying, the guy at the barbershop. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a work ethic, he has a work ethic, and they can't understand why he's so good at what he does, because he has an ethic, he has principles, he has a pattern that he follows every day. But they don't see that pattern. All they see is just the big.
Oh, I'm telling you what they see. They see that money coming in and his chairs being full. That's what
exactly.
They see.
That's all
money coming in.
But they don't know that he had how he had to work up to that.
But see, here's the deal that will weigh you out. Here's the deal that will weigh you out. Okay, this will weigh you out. Now, a man that doesn't have ego in a way will sit down with that man, or no more different than I have multiple meetings that I'm going to do with this author that's right in our studio right now with the Pro Christ, is because I have not finished my book. So I need to ask this young man, how did he do it? Now, you think ego is in the way of me? Hell no. I'm holding a copy of this man's book that was delivered. Ken, you got your copy? Two copies right here on the table. So the easiest situation with that is to say, Vincent,
you know, and I was thinking of something right before I got here. You know, Vincent is 22 years old. I'm 48 years old. You're 40.
I don't know how old I am.
Whatever.
That's right.
But there's things that he's probably done in his lifetime that I've never done, and the same vice versa.
Yes.
It doesn't make anything about age or wealth or whatever you got, whatever somebody else has. But we can get the same thing and go to the same point if you're smart and use your head and do things right.
Okay, but here's the deal. I'm going to ask Vincent this. I'm going to ask him this. How many people told you that you couldn't do this book? I'm going to hold the book. Tell me, now be straight now. How many people told you couldn't do it, or how many blockages did you see that you assumed that was coming your way, and how did you jump over them blockages? Come on, Tim.
Well, for the first point, anybody listening, you can go to www.vincentgray.com to get the book. Barnes & Noble, search it, or Amazon.com, The Pro Christ. Also, I just wanted to tell, earlier, Jim, you said something about how a lot of people say they're going to do something, you know, and you said, where is that? Well, I used to be one of those people talking about, you know, yeah, my book was finished, but it wasn't published. I used to talk a lot about, yeah, it's coming. After a while, it was just 4 years of just me talking about it's coming, and now that it's here, it's like amazing to me. There's a lot of blockages in my way. You know, money, of course, is probably one of the biggest problems, because, you know, a lot of self-publishers don't get a lot of respect out here. And then it was just, you know, school, just life. I mean, life was in a way, and you just got to overcome those. Got to overcome adversity. You know, a lot of people are going to throw different things at you, and you just got to, just how tough you are to jump over those hurdles and continue to go. you know, and not really give up. If you got a dream, you know, go chase it. If you got, you know, if you believe that you can do something, they're going to do it, you know. And as long as at the end of the day, you know that you gave it your all, and you can rest easy at night knowing that even if you didn't make it or didn't get what you wanted to get, you know, you gave it your all, and that's all that matters, is that you gave it your all.
And guess what, man? When you say all of that, and that's a perfect thing to say, the bottom line is you put yourself in the game. Let's keep it real. You put yourself in the game. You ain't got to necessarily have a pit bull mentality about what you did. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. That's fine. But guess what you did? By engaging in what you did, your creation, you manifested this by engaging. So a whole lot of people up there, man, want to be armchair authors. They want to be armchair quarterbacks. Like, man, you know, man, I can't believe, dude, didn't see that man crossing over doing what he did to post. But, dude, you out there looking at everything on field view?
Yeah, but the fans are the part of the game. And fans are just as part of the game as the people out there performing on the field.
I got you. But I'm not talking about that point. I'm talking about to make a judgment call to say what you seen from in the stands is a whole lot different from on that damn field.
It really is.
It's a whole lot different. So when you get in the field of the hustle, when you get in the field of the grind, when you get in the field of out here dealing with making this money, dealing with these people, when you under protection of certain things, man, okay, it's cool. You get some husbands under protection, you get wives under protection, kids under protection. Have you went out there and got your feet wet? Have you went out there and got your head cracked? Have you went out there and had to crack some heads? See, not just looking at something coming at you, but what have you given out to? I can walk outside and dude say, look, man, Jim, hey, how you doing, dude? But get ready to throw them up, man, about to whoop your ass. You think I'm going to lay down, dude, and just put my hands down and say I ain't ready to throw no blows? Let me tell you something, man. You're going to get every bit of 230 pounds. Everything I got, dude. If I got to die for it, I got to die for it. That's my mentality about it. That's just how it is for me. Yeah, but, and I'm going to say, well, society got in the way of me making my money. I'd be a punk and a sissy if I said that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. You know, a lot of people don't have your mentality. It's a special mentality that you have. A lot of people, you went to the questions, why do people are afraid to ask why or why not? A lot of people, they're not really ready for the answers. You know, a lot of people aren't really ready for to ask questions. A lot of people don't have the brain to even ask the correct questions. A lot of people just ask a bunch of different questions out of here, and they don't really want, they get a lot of different answers, but they don't know the questions to the answers that they're getting.
Now, you know what? That's an excellent point. Now, I'm going to tell you this one. I got a text message that just came in that a listener is watching the show. Let me see if I can go back to this text message, man, because it says something to me, honestly, that is off the chain. And I do, I want to, let me see. I'm going to try to get the quote of the text message. Here it is. Some people are afraid of what the answer will be. This is a text message. Somebody listening to the show right now. The same. It's texting up on my personal line.
That's exactly right, Jim.
What'd you say?
I said that's Greg, exactly right, and that's what I was going to say.
Okay,
is that people are afraid, they procrastinate, they don't want to hear the answer, they don't want to take that leap of faith, and that's part of it. But you've got to overcome it. You've got to stand up. You've got to take that first step of faith. You have the belief in God. You ask God for something. But then 90% of the people, they go back to being complacent, and they don't do what they need to do. They already have it. The gift is already there waiting for them to say thank you. And that's 90% of it. They don't say thank you. Like you were saying about that lady. She thanked her husband. She didn't have to, but she thanked her husband for the job that he did for her. He was doing it for himself, too. And that's what you need to do. When you ask for something from God, you've got to already, I thank God for it is done now. Once you do that, it's done. It's manifested.
What is the best show of faith? There's a scripture in the Bible that makes it state is, what is a man, I'm getting this right, so don't hold me to the quote, but what is a man that can thank God for something that he has not yet in his hand? What is that? That is the highest level of faith, that, and it's natural for me to do that every single day.
Yeah.
But I thank God for what I have and what I do not have. When I put a desire or a situation out there, when I say, and anybody out there that know me, when I say something is a done deal, Big Daddy Pimpin, you can bet your, as surely as you swear that sun is going to rise, as surely as you know, Jimmy's going to come through with what he say he's going to do. That's just it for me. When I say it's a done deal, when I look at somebody and say, the hell with all that punk-ass contract, and if I shake your hand, and give you a verbal and look you dead square in the eye. I'm gonna cover myself.
But you know, that's very old school. You know, even though I'm not an old school guy, but you know, I read a lot of books. You know, back in the day, there wasn't no contract. You know, a man stood up, he shook his hand, you know, his word was his bond.
That was the contract.
Yeah,
I mean, there wasn't no written contract.
That's right. You know, that used to fly in the judicial system. You know, I shook his hand, I said I was gonna do this, I didn't do it, you know, what's my penalty? But a lot of people, they're afraid, they need contracts now because a man's word isn't his bond anymore.
Why?
You know?
We got a little session, we can talk about that. We're not gonna do that today, but I'll put it out there. Why? Where's the loss of integrity at, man? The loss of it? You don't even got the integrity. Listen, man, you ain't even got it. Man, you can't even get integrity sometimes if you go sit down with your own doctor,
yes,
with your own lawyer.
And it's funny that about that. Me and a friend of mine, we read the Bible every Thursday night with each other, and we were just talking about integrity just the day after we did the show last week about just like what's the definition of integrity and why, you know, where is it at? You know, where is it going, and why don't many people have it anymore? You know, it's just really you know, funny that you just mentioned that.
Well, you know what? I will say this, and I know we're kind of jumping off that subject, but here's what it is, man. For me, integrity is not just something that you look up a definition. It is taught. It is an apprenticeship of accepting a pathway of how you're going to live your life. That's it, Pimpy. That's the bottom line. If you don't have teachers that can teach you that as going through an apprenticeship or a way of passage. See, when you get into integrity and standing for something, you not only is it old school, but to me it's the proper school. It's the proper school. You can tell me, like, I'm looking at Vincent right now, you made a statement to me, you asked me a question off the air last week, and we talked, and you know, we had a chance, dude, and I mean, people are giving me responses to your website, and you asked me, can I come back on? I didn't need you to make a contract between DBS Radio and Hustle Spirit Radio to say come back on. What did I tell you, man? Come on. How many times you want to come on? Come on. What do you want to do? What do you want to put out there? Not just your book, but give your insight as a 22-year-old man coming up in corporate America. A 22-year-old man that's going to school. A 22-year-old man that's got a book wrote, and I'm holding the damn thing. Ring. Tell me.
Touching.
What do you need? And did you have any glimmer in your mind? Did you have any glimmer in your mind? Is that when I told you, come on, did you have any doubt in it?
No. I mean, I just came. You know, you told me to come, and I came.
I mean, but did you think about it? Did you think about it? Did you think, well, man, is this dude really for real? Did he really, you know, is
keep
he really for real?
It shouldn't be.
That's not what the kind of impression I want to put out there. Stay right with us. We'll be right back. Couple more hot topics. Got Vincent Gray with us.
Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating.
Pro Christ, the Pro Christ. Come on back. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Hustler's Spirit Radio. Welcome back to A Hustler's Spirit Radio with your host Jim, Judy, Ken, and Greg.
What's happening? Hey, we back, and I think we've been hitting it up today. What are we scared of? Why don't we ask why? What is the fear? What's going on, man? You ain't been with us so far, man. You missed a wonderful show. We still got more. We got 25 minutes more. We about to crack some heads with it. Let's get down to find out what is the procrastination situation going on with us today. How can we beat that? What do we want to do? My whole thing about it is I can say one thing about it. From all the things that I've experienced and all the things that I have read and seen from other authors, spoke to other people, went to different whether it be seminars or whatever it is, it's the whole thing about it is, what do you really, really want subconsciously? That's the bottom line to it. Do you know you can succeed? Do you know that you can do it? And if a person got enough something inside of them, they can honestly give you to say, you know what, I did lapse on that. I was lazy. I didn't think I could do it. I was procrastinating. Be honest with yourself. How can you repair something, change something, if you're not honest with yourself? How can you do it? So, here's the deal. Now, Vincent, I know you're sitting here at this mic. Do you have a fear of success? Or did you have a fear of success with this book? And do you have a fear of success right now? Do you have it?
Now the thing about success is success is just it's based on opinion, because success to me may not be success to you. And your success may be may not be my success. So success is such a broad word that it actually really comes on an individual. You know, a man who's a janitor, works, all the time, doesn't make much an hour, he may see himself as a success if he, has a beautiful wife and he's, with his kids and stuff. But somebody else may say, I don't want to be no janitor, that's not a successful job. But to him, that may be success. So to me, putting out this book, of course, some people will say, man, that's really successful, a 22-year-old putting out a book. To me, it's only the beginning of this mountain that I'm about to climb. There's a lot, I want to put out a lot more things out here that touch a lot more lives, and people ask me, they say, is your book a Christian book? I say, it's not really a Christian book, because it doesn't alienate anybody. It's just a book, it's an entertaining read, and if you see something different out of life after reading it, that's a great thing. But look out for more that's coming out for me, because success to me, in my definition of success, is like a man once told me to be patient but never be satisfied. Meaning that, wait for everything that you want, but don't ever just lay down and just be happy with everything you got. Just keep trying to get more. Keep doing more, and keep climbing that mountain.
So basically, what you're saying is, and we talked about this before the show, is, man, you're not trying to be content with a damn thing. You keep it moving.
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody tell you that, that's exactly what that means. That means you keep it moving. I ain't on no cruise control. The hell with cruise control. I'm not on, man, listen, I get up out the bed. And I'm putting my foot to the floor. Just like I would be doing, I'm getting that pro mile car and I'm going to do 240 in the quarter mile. I'm putting my foot to the floor. I got a t-shirt that says, no matter what, I never lift. And that's what that means. So people see me with the shirt, they say, well, what does that mean? That means that when I get in there and I strap in and I hit that 3-speed Ranko with the air shift in it, baby, I don't know nothing but wide open. That's it. There's some dudes out there riding Hayabusas, riding ZX11s. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing but full throttle or nothing. Do they not have drinks that's called full throttle? What them scenarios mean? That means, look, man, you get all of this 3,000 milligrams of this energy or you get none at all. And if you don't want it, don't open up this cooler and buy none. And that's just how I look at the whole 9 yards. So why should I step out the bed if I ain't willing to do 150%? Why should I get up and do this radio if I ain't willing to give people out here listening 150%? What time am I wasting? And then what am I doing for myself? How am I managing myself? What am I doing? Am I giving myself 150%? See, I can sit there and say, well, I'm giving my kids and my family 150%, but shit, let's get back to the real. Pimp, I didn't come in with them, and I ain't going to leave with them. So that means, what am I giving myself? What am I fearful of? What do I need to do? Man, my whole scenario with everything that I've ever been successful with life, my foot to the floor.
Well, that's exactly right, Jim, because it's not just that. You have to do your homework. When you say, God, I want this, well, you have to be still, and you have to be quiet, and you have to meditate, and you have to pray. You can't just put it out there and then go back to doing all the other crazy stuff. You have to study. You have to prepare. With anything you want, you procrastinate, but then you got to, as you say, you have to give it full throttle. And you have to give 110%. So if you just sit in one place and want and want and want, but don't put any effort forward, nothing's going to happen.
You're right, Greg. You're exactly right. Everything that we try to do, we go full throttle. But I have something that I really want to say. We all have to have good intentions on everything that we do, and our intent opens up the avenues and stuff for us to go where we want to go and at great bounds. Great bounds.
Should we be consumed by something in our lives now, and if so, what?
No, the reason why I asked that question, and the reason why me and Vincent are talking about that question is, let's get back to when we say full throttle. Let's get back to when we're full throttle. See, here's the deal. Say you get an opinion. If people say, man, you shouldn't be obsessed by anything. You shouldn't be obsessed by anything. Let me say this to you. That's that person's opinion. I want it to consume me, for me to be a part of it. Now, if I say, well, you know, you're obsessed with your spirituality, the first thing I'm going to tell you is kiss my ass. The first thing I'm going to say, because I'm here for my spirituality. And I want it to consume me. Because in consuming me, I become all-powerful. And become all-powerful, then I let me get what I want to get. My desires are set free, and I start my manifesting going on. Now, if I want to skim, and I don't want to dig down past the icing, are you ever going to taste the cake? Let's keep it real. You understand? Cake can be wonderful, man. Moist, nice, everything. Then you get to a point, you ask yourself, you say, well, look, man, I don't know, people say, Jim, you come a little bit too hard. Ease up on that. And my statement would be, ask your woman, does she want it soft or does she want it hard? And find out what the answer going to be. Figure that one out.
Well, a lot of people don't even want to hear the answer. And a lot of people don't even try to find out what the answer is, because everything that you touch out here, there's a motive that someone has. They want something. So if you want to dig and try to find it out, or can you stand it if you find out the truth?
No. Okay, now go ahead.
You know,
I got something to add to that.
You know, I used to talk to people about you shouldn't ask questions you don't really want to know the answer to. And a lot of people, they ask a lot of questions, and they really don't want to know the answer. Then when they get the answer that they want, they're not really prepared to handle it. They may handle it too aggressively, too passively. They might not do the right thing. And that's the case for a lot of divorces and a lot of things that's going on out here because of obsession, as you were talking about, is like when you're saying, are you obsessed with your spirituality? I don't think anybody can be too obsessed with their spirituality. No one should be ashamed to look for God and ask for God, you know. And
well, then see, here's the deal. When you start doing that, for a person to say, man, I'm ashamed or I don't know, what are you really doing? You're really looking at comparing majority of people's attitude about something and then judging yourself from somebody else's opinion. I'm going to be straight with you, man. I don't give a rat's behind less about how somebody feels about whether I'm obsessed with money, whether I'm obsessed with spirituality, whether I'm obsessed with my work, whether I'm obsessed with being a great man. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand your point too, but my whole thing about it, now I ask people out there listening, and here's the question. Can you be too obsessed with money?
You can't be too obsessed with anything, because if you think that anybody cares about something that you think about or the things that you want, you'll miss the whole boat that you're riding on. You sitting up here worrying about something that someone's saying or a thought. Come on.
You know what?
It's just crazy.
You know what? It's
asinine.
To answer that question, you can't be too obsessed with money. Because if you let it consume you, you alienate the people. You alienate the people who's trying to basically be in your life. You know, sometimes money, if it consumes you, sometimes it changes you. You become a different person. You do a lot of different things. So, yeah, I believe that you can be too obsessed with money if you let it ruin you, your family, and your life that you got going on before you had money.
Okay. I completely disagree.
Of course.
You can look at me in this studio and know damn well I was going to disagree.
Let me tell you something, man. They make it, I want it. They make it, I want to lay on it. They make it, dude, I want to sleep on it. I want to touch it. Matter of fact, I would love to wipe my behind with nothing but onions. I want it, I want it, I want it, and I am going to get what I want.
At what cost?
Whatever the cost is going to be. That's my decision that I made. So we could say, now here's the deal. Excellent point. Excellent point. Because when you say what cost, hold on, now check it. I'm with you on that thought. And that's perfect. What cost are you willing to do what it takes to even have wrote this book? Would you have taken to being alienated by your family? Would you have taken being ostracized by your friends for this book? Would you have done it? Answer that question. I want to know. I want to know, Pimpy. Would you have done it?
If I was to write, it's many different things that I can write about. So I'm a very creative person. But if I was writing something that I felt that I might lose my family over, I wouldn't do it. You know, even if it was guaranteed that I was gonna make millions of dollars and live that life, I wouldn't do it because that's just me. I hold God and family above money, anything, fancy cars, big houses, all that stuff, you know. In the Bible, Job was left with nothing and he still praised God. So I figured, you know, I came into the world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing as well. So all the money, you know, you talk about wiping your behind with money.
It
means nothing. All the money means nothing. Only thing that money means is what you put the value onto it. And I don't put money on the value of, you know, more important than my family or what I've created in life.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, youngster. I'm just saying this, you know, because I've had a lot of money, given a lot of money away and things that in my life. And I've had family members do the same thing to me because they thought the money was greater. It's not, and I still love them, although I may not have nothing to do with them as far as on a business level, even on a personal level, because they changed that. I didn't change it. You have to live and see things or something, but I'm telling you, a lot of your salvation and a lot of things in life for you, easy money will make a lot of changes for you that you never thought you would ever have.
Let me tell you something. You know I got to come in and say something about
that one.
Here's the deal. This is what I want. This is going to be for next week. This is what we're talking about next week. Money in the Bible is called mammon. Mammon or mammoth? One of those words. Don't get me wrong. I'm
going to
look it up because here's the deal. In the book, it is put equal to God. So that's going to be, anybody out there listening, that's going to be the assignment for next week. Because I've made this statement years ago, and I'll make this statement on the air right now, and you can quote me on it. A broke-ass man cannot see God and can't find God if your ass is broke. Now you say, Jim, whoa, that's a hell of a statement. Pimpy. That's a hell of a statement, but I give you one better. When you broke, what type of mindset are you in? When you don't have no money, what type of mindset are you in? And the other point of that is in the Bible speaks of all of the riches and the wealth and the treasures. What is that for? You're not put here to be broke. You ain't put here to suffer. And if a person give me anything out them scriptures talking about suffering, let's go toe-to-toe with it. Because that shit coming here ain't supposed to be no suffering, dude. And if you suffering right now, you know in your inside that shit ain't right. You know it ain't right, and you know you got to get up, and you know you got to go get it. So what make that man get up and go get it? What make him get up and go get it compared? So you can say, now I'm going to tell you something. You're 22, and that's perfect. But I'm going to tell you this one. You can put family first. But there's a possibility. There's a lot of people out there that had their heads cracked. See, when you get into a metaphysical side of things, family means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Come back. Stay with us because we're going to finish up this hot topic. Got everybody in the house. Vincent Gray is up in the house, the author of the Pro Christ, talking with us and keeping it real. We got Greg and Ken. We'll be right back.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
Keeping it hard all day long. Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Touching one soul at a time.
Touching one soul at a time.
A Hustler's Spirit. Radio. Welcome back to A Hustler's Spirit Radio. with your hosts Jim, Judy, Ken, and Greg.
Hey, 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 we are back, and everybody up in the house today, man, and it's a little steamy up in here today, man. I'm a little stiff, a little steamy, a little hot up in here, a little humid. I think it's some perspiration going on up in here.
Shower you need.
I think it is, baby. Yeah, we're keeping it real. Everybody know it now. Listen, we got Mr. Vincent Gray with us today, the author of the Pro Christ. And I want y'all to go out there and grab this book. I want you to grab it. Grab it. Now, listen, are you autographing any books for people, sending them out, man? I mean, do you do that for what?
Oh, yeah, you know, I actually just put a bunch of them on eBay today.
Okay.
And each one of them that's bought, I'm going to put a personalized, whatever you want wrote on it, I'm going to write it, unless it's something
that is perfect.
Something that's, you know, irrelevant, I'm not going to write it.
Right.
You can go on eBay right now, search the Pro Christ or search Vincent Gray, and, you know, you can get a signed copy.
Okay. Because I know, man, people got a lot of great things coming from you, dude. I'm going to get into this book, and I'm going to have this book finished. And it seems to be a nice read.
Oh, it's a very good read. Everybody's read it so far. I haven't gotten a negative. I'm still waiting on how I'm going to react to something negative about it, but I haven't received not one negative comment about it.
Stay neutral, baby. Go from your heart. Stay neutral.
Clarify what I was talking about, Ken with race, is when you mentioned it, is that family just isn't blood. You know, it can be, you know, anybody that makes you feel comfortable, you feel like they're your family. I was talking with a friend of mine, and they were saying that they don't talk to their aunts or uncles, you know, not as much as they would like to, but it's not that they don't consider their family, but they have a church family that they feel most comfortable with. You know, it's all about who's in your life, how they help you get over the hurdles, is who you can call family or not.
Did we just not talk about that when we say, you know, we got a friend and we test that friend and we just see what's going on? How do I know you're a friend if we don't test that? Guess what? You can have brothers that look right at you, man, won't come to your aid. Is that a friend? You can have a mother, father. See, one thing I was able to do definitely at a young age, I call an apple, and I do it now. If my people next to me ain't worth a damn, it ain't worth a damn. I mean, why? I don't need to sugarcoat nothing. I done been experienced stuff, dude. I done seen smiles on one end. I done seen frowns and cutthroat on the other end. And you have too, Ken. And our people out there listening can say the same thing. Come on now.
Just like we could buy a pair of shoes today, and 3 months later we look at it and we don't even like those shoes or something. But just getting there with people, you can tell when you're around something that's just not right, because your whole inside, even your taste buds, won't even taste the same when that person is around you. You can't taste food the same. You don't even breathe the same. When
that's your internal intelligence. Yes.
And I'm telling you, you put yourself first and all that other stuff, people will fit in where they belong.
Time will have all of us. We still, I'm going to tell you something, man. When you hear people, and I work in the automotive field, and I hear technicians say, man, I done seen it all. You really can't tell me nothing about that circuit. Immediately what comes into my mind is you're ignorant. Because you, Big Daddy, I don't care how many cars you work on, I don't care how many fuel pump circuits, I don't care how many OBD2 DTCs you see, I don't care about how many canned bus lines you see, it's always, every single thing is different. Every vehicle has its own traits. It's different. I don't care if it comes off the same assembly line, Big Daddy. There's some differences, some variances in it all. Every motor, I can get a 6.2 liter Corvette motor. You can tell me that they dynoed at the rear wheel at 320 horsepower, dynoed at the crank at 405. I don't care what you tell me. Everyone's going to be slightly different. You're never going to get the same basic thing. We're coming off the whole assembly line, all of us. Are we all the same? Hell no. Different purposes, different things. But what my whole point about this whole subject matter was today is, can we recognize the subtle differences that are apparent in our lives right now? The whole conversation today is about that.
Yeah, but you can't really compare a machine to a human being. It's impossible. As human beings, we have a mind, we think, you know, so none of our bodies work the same. But you know what? Let's take a video game, for example. You take a John Madden CD or a disc for whatever system, and it's going to print on that disc the same exact thing as it printed on the disc before and the disc after in that whole assembly line. So you can't really compare.
Well, you know what I'm doing? I'm not saying so much that we're as machines, but what I'm saying is that we have subtle differences within us. And that's why I kind of mentioned about, we come off the same assembly line, but we have differences. That's my metaphor
is what I'm trying to say. I can say that because every single, we have variances that we talk about in the automotive field. You understand? Piston ring clearances, piston sizes, deck heights. Even though it's cut, is it exactly the same basic thing? How can 15 motors come off the assembly line and have 15 different horsepower ratings? Okay, well then if I put us as, let's say as humans, we come off the assembly line, but Big Daddy, you vibrate a little different than me. You vibrate a little different than me. I have my own signature vibration. You do too. But we're still coming from the same basic line. We're still connected. And even getting past your point, I can understand that. I don't think you quite understood me. But even getting past that, what happens in life with that? What happens to the what majority of people want to do to us? And basically what that is the separation. So if you can kind of understand what I'm saying by that is, can we sit down today and recognize the subtle differences? That's my whole point about what I'm saying. Can we sit down today and ask ourselves and be truthful with ourselves? Man, you know, why are we scared? Why are we fearful? Can we stop? Can we just do that? Now can we say, did I do it all today? Because you look in the mirror, Vincent, when you write the book and say, today, did I do everything I needed to do today with this book? Was there every day like that? Or did you see yourself and check the subtle differences out and say, today, it wasn't 100% today. It was about 92. I need to pick it up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the point. Now, how many people in society can you say that they aren't picking up the subtle differences? When I had a conversation with you before we went up to the studio and before we start talking, the base bottom line of it is, how open are you? Not only how open are you, how able are you to see those subtleties? Those little bitty things, those experiences, conversations that you have with a stranger that you have no knowledge of. You know what I mean? So, what do you see at that? What do you see?
One thing I want to say to all viewers is we're at www.bdsradio.com, station 2, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell all your friends, tell everybody to come listen here, listen up. We talk about great things here. We keep it real here on this radio station, and we just want to hear what y'all got to say. Next week, we're going to open up the phone lines. And, you know, to check out my book, The Pro Christ, go to www.vensingray.com. If you want to know more about Jim Ferguson, go to www.hustlerspirit.com, and that's with two S's. But, again, you know, tell all your friends, tell everybody to listen up to this radio station next week, and we'll continue more then.
How would you answer that question?
I mean, it's going to be subtle differences between everybody because everybody feels a different way. Everybody has different hearts, different brain waves, different brain patterns.
That's what my whole point is. Can you recognize the differences in your life?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, it all comes just on how hard you're willing to work. You know, I can look at somebody on the street who's begging for money and say, well, they didn't work as hard as they should have. You know, some people want to say, well, society is the reason why they let them down. Or maybe that person was just lazy. You don't really know for yourself, but you can always assume.
But a lot of people that you're around, if you're around them long enough and experience certain things with them, you'll find their motives, even if they want to keep it to themselves. I'm running into things with, you know, and you'll... If it's one person I'm friends, I thought was a friend or something, but he has his wife around him, and he'll put her up to just about anything, and her feelings are so strong for him that she'll do just about anything that he asks, but he don't even understand her motive of why she'll do that, but he's testing her to the fullest, and we can get caught up in stuff like that, man, and at the outcome, man, when the flames and the smoke come all up, you try to extinguish yourself away from people that vibrate like that.
But you know what? Let me say this to you, and I know we run out of time, but I'm gonna say this to you right now. I know exactly what you say. A lot of people out here, you're saying it, but at the same time, you're experiencing that. We're not gonna get into exactly what you're experiencing, but tell the people out there, did you not see a precursor to what was going to happen? Now, come on, Pimpy.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
And you made a decision not to do nothing about it. Now, you could have cut homie ass loose, or you stayed with him. Now, when you stay with him, what you do? You take what's in the pot. What have we done when we've been out here and seen some things? A person will give you what their intentions are. All you got to do is listen to them.
Exactly.
Because if he can talk about what he'll do to another dude, If a woman can talk about what she did to her ex-boyfriend, you better damn be sure she'll crack that off on your ass and will do it in a heartbeat. Now, you tell me. Now, plus, when you add us up both together, baby, we almost got a century up in here. You understand me what I'm saying? Figure that out. That's a century, damn near close to a century worth of knowledge. So, you know what I'm saying? And when you see that, I done seen some shit, man, that I can say I can't believe. Back in the day, I would say that. But you can't get me to say that now, Pimpy.
You can't get you,
because you don't say it no more. It's been a long time, man.
Keep stepping.
You better do it.
Keep moving.
You better move
in my sleep.
You better, that's what I'm talking about. You're going to have to do that. Because all it is, once again, hold on. Subtle differences. How many people can you get together? I get you 100 people. In the same scenario that you won on, because you won that, the same scenario, you couldn't get 100 people to look at that situation in a third dimension, a third degree level of awareness about that. They continually want to keep blaming. They're going to continually want to not take responsibility for it. Get them, man. And I know you know them. Vincent, I know you know them too. You understand me? And the whole thing about it is taking the responsibility of what's in front of you. Now, we get back to that situation with homie. You know how to win with that. You vibrate higher. You know how to conquer that. You just vibrate higher. You don't give anybody your energy with judging. You don't give anybody your energy with thinking about what a man should do, because as we know, damn, Skippy, I don't know what nobody needs to do. I don't know what, and I don't care to know about when. It's not for us to know. Just your path. And your path is saying, Ken, go here. So-and-so, go there. Vincent, so-and-so, go there. We're most successful when we move to that.
Remember, when I was talking to you earlier today and I told you about the lady that stopped me, the Jehovah's Witness lady, and she asked me about world experiences and why is life like this, and I told her,
you told her some things you guys got to do.
Everything in my life that went on in my life that I can say about my life has always been my fault, my choice.
That's it. That's it. Your responsibility to me is a better word to say. Responsibility. It ain't your fault. It's your responsibility. Listen, man, I know we out of time, and I know this is the end of the show. Vincent Gray in the house, baby. Hey, man, can you come back next week?
I will.
Man?
I will be here.
You come back? All right. All right. We out of here. We out of here. We're out of here. So get that book. The Poor Christ.
Keeping it in you all night. Penetrating, lubricating, and stimulating. A Hustler's Spirit. Radio.